Avinu, Malkenu, our Father, our King, ruler of the universe, we come before you on this special day, asking that you teach us from your word, draw us closer to you, draw us up into heavenly places in you. I acknowledge publicly and before you my death in you, and give you permission to fill this empty vessel with your spirit, for you to speak to our hearts and minds. And over each one of us, forgive us, cleanse us through the sacrifice of Messiah. Purify us and give us your ears and your spirit and your discernment. In Yeshua's name. Our message tonight is from Joshua chapter 7, Achan, True Justice. And so we opened the 10 days of awe, we opened at Rosh Hashanah with the shofars blasting, the people shouting around Jericho, and the walls coming down flat. And then we looked at going in to the next city and attacking it, Ai. Joshua sending people from Jericho to go and attack the city. And that's where we pick up the story. Again, we'll do a little review here. From chapter 7, verse 4, 3,000 men attacked Ai, but they fled before them, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men and chased them from before the gate. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Joshua tore his clothes and fell on his earth, on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, they put dust on their heads. So again, it goes right along with our theme here for this year of these high holy days of the Ark of the Covenant, Joshua falling down in front of it in repentance and crying out to the Lord and seeking him. And at that time, the ark was not in the Mishkan. It had just finished going around Jericho with the soldiers and with the Kohanim. And so it was still there. They were able to fall on their face in front of it. And on Yom Kippur, the only day of the year, anyone was able to come before the Ark of the Covenant after it was built and established. And then God responds to Joshua's prayers here, his tearing his clothes, his falling on his face. And the Lord says to Joshua, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. It's not enough just to say, I'm sorry, right? A sorry, sorry, sorry day, right? I'm really sorry day. But if that's all it ends, if that's all it takes place, if all we do is just a pounding our breasts and crying out to the Lord in confession, and there is no change of heart, then it's meaningless. And so the Lord told Joshua, get up. Enough of your prayers, now act on those prayers. There's an accursed thing in the camp. And Joshua told them before they attacked Jericho, do not touch the accursed thing. There's an accursed thing from among you. And thus we weren't able to defeat the city of Ai, and 36 soldiers were killed, and the people's hearts melted. The sin had affected the entire nation of Israel. And we won't be able to stand before our enemies as long as there is sin in our hearts. We won't be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We won't be able to stand in the judgments before the Lord with the devil there accusing us if there's sin on our record books. If there's sin still in our hearts, everything must be cleansed. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden for one sin. He certainly cannot allow us back into heaven with any sins on our record. That's why he's given us this time. That's why the loud shout of the shofars of Rosh Hashanah have been sounding. That's why God is giving us warning and warning and warning in the signs and situations that are happening in this world to wake us up so we can know the time is near, so we can get ready and be ready. We have time, short period of time, to confess all our sins and have them cleansed, forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, and then do something about them, to stop doing them. As Yeshua told the lady that was caught in adultery, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more." And with that command was the power to do so. So the Lord sent them forth to not continue in disobedience to the Lord. And because of God's Spirit, because of God's grace, because of God's love, because of God's power available to us, there is no reason for us to continue in any known, cherished, rebellious sin against the Lord. He's able to cleanse us. And so he told Joshua, get up and get the accursed thing out of the camp. The same for us. Get up and get the accursed thing out of your life. Stop doing what's wrong. Do what is right by God's power, by God's grace. Be forgiven and be sanctified, set apart for God's holy use. And to where we're, that's all just review. So picking up here now in verse 14, in the morning you shall be brought according to your tribes. The tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the households which the Lord takes shall come man by man. And it shall be that who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. And here we see the mercy of the Lord. He could just shout the person's name out for everybody to hear. But in mercy, he goes from the nation to the tribe, from the tribe to the family, and then closer and closer down until they get to the person themselves. Verse 16, Joshua brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zemdai was taken, and then he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And so they went tribe by tribe. Judah was taken by Lot, and then down through the family, and then Achan's grandfather was chosen, and then Achan himself was chosen. And imagine as Achan was hearing the proclamation that someone had the accursed thing, probably felt kind of safe. Maybe he thought, you know, there's millions of us here. There's no way they're going to know it was me. The security cameras weren't working then. They all fell down flat, right? With Jericho. He felt safe. And maybe he thought, you know, I wasn't the only one to take something. There must have been others here. And of all these people, somebody else must have taken something also. And then as he heard Judah taken, wow, still, there's still hundreds, thousands of us. And then closer and closer as it got towards his family. And then as his grandfather and lineage was chosen, his heart probably sank. But he held on until his name was chosen. Now God, again, was very merciful to Achan. Achan had made it through the time in the wilderness. As we'll see here in a little bit, he has children. And so he's not a young man. He's not over 40, that we know, because everyone over 40, except Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. So he's somewhere probably between 30 and 40. And so he has seen a lot of miracles. He's heard about the Red Sea parting. He heard about secondhand how the Red Sea closed and the chariots all were destroyed. He heard about the 10 plagues. He heard about the pillar of fire. He saw the manna come down day by day and collected the manna, miracle after miracle. Hundreds of miracles every year. Manna coming down. And then on Friday, twice as much available and not getting worm eaten on Friday night. Then on Sabbath, no manna. That's a miracle in itself. To turn on the faucet and to turn it back off. No manna on that day. And the manna they collected the night before didn't get worm eaten. It survived. We're able to eat it on that day. Miracle after miracle. God revealing himself. Water coming out of a rock for them. He saw the other nations conquered. He saw the mighty men of Israel go and fight and not one soldier die. He obviously wasn't a bad person. He didn't fall for the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebellion against Moses. He survived that. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. He was old enough, 39 years, maybe as a young child. He heard the stories of God speaking from Mount Sinai, Moses coming down with the tablets. He saw the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, keeping them warm, being guided and directed by that cloud and that fire. He didn't fall for Balaam's deception and the women coming into the camp and people worshiping the idol of Baal and being destroyed in that plague. He made it. He saw the Jordan River parted, confirming what he had heard about the Red Sea. He went through on dry ground. He ate the Passover, the first Passover since Egypt. He saw the water stop because now they had the Jordan River. He saw the manna stop because now we were in the promised land, had food available to us. He was willing to be circumcised with the others on that side of the Jordan River with the river behind them and the city of Jericho in front of them. He was willing to be vulnerable, sitting duck before Jericho. He might have been among those who circled Jericho for 7 days and protected by the Lord. Fear of the Lord upon those in Jericho, not shooting arrows at them, not pouring boiling oil on them, not throwing rocks at them. Then the seventh day, circling it seven times. And they shout and they blow the shofar and the walls come down. He saw it all. And yet, he still chose to take the accursed thing. He made it all the way into the promised land, and yet took the accursed thing. How sad would it be for us to live our whole lives and at the end to blow it? He who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." We hear in the entreaty of Joshua, love also, "My son, I beg you, give glory to God." He's entreating him, like how God came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He could have knocked down the bush, said, "I know you're there, come out of here." He went calling them, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" God comes seeking us out. He knows where we are. And again, he could have called Achan out by name, loud, booming voice from heaven. But he was giving him opportunity to step forward on his own. But he didn't. He held back. Even as he heard the tribe of Judah being called, he held back. As he saw the 36 people died because of that, he held back. And he heard it get closer to him. He still held back and did not open his voice. Verse 20, Achan answered, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." So he makes confession. He acknowledges it as sin. Even gives the specific sin, "I coveted." Which one of the Ten Commandments? He mentions it by name. "And I sinned against the Lord God of Israel." He's not an atheist. He believes in God. He acknowledges God. He didn't just say, "Yeah, I took it." No, "I sinned against the Lord God of Israel." But he's really not repentant. "When I saw among these spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment." Beautiful? How beautiful? It's bloodstained. The lives of 36 people died because of that stupid piece of cloth. And he's still calling it beautiful. He's still coveting it. He's still enamored by it. And we see here how one sin in the camp affects the whole nation. 36 innocent people died because of this person's sin. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, the whole world has been plunged into sin. Thus, we're born in sin, conceived in sin, and have a carnal nature as a result. It has affected 6,000 years of humanity, generation after generation after generation. And people are dying today as a result of that sin and choosing to continue in that realm. What we do, we might hide away. He might have thought, no one will know this. God won't see this. No one else knows about it. But God does know, and God does see. And the sin in our life does affect our families. Even the secret sin, sin in our life does affect a congregation, does affect our community, our city, our state, our nation. Sin must be rooted out of the camp.
Amen.
Must be rooted out of our hearts and minds. Yeshua said, if your hand offends you, better to cut it off. If your eye offends you, better to pluck it out and to enter into heaven without an eye, without a hand, than to not. Now, he's not talking literally. But whatever you're doing with your hand, whatever you're looking at that you shouldn't be looking at, stop doing that. Get up, sanctify yourselves, and get it out of the life. Get it out of the heart. Get it out of the mind. Get it out of the character. Turn it over to the Lord. Surrender it to him. Give it to him. Let him bury it away and kill the horrible carnal nature. So get rid of the sin. We don't need to get rid of the person. We don't need to get rid of ourselves. God has already taken the sins upon himself. He's already paid the price for it. Just let go. Give him the keys. He's already bought it. It's already his. We're actually stealing from God when we hold on to sin, because it's his. He has taken it. He's paid the price for the sin. So if we have the sin and continue in it, we're stealing the sin from God. And rebelliously continuing in something that he has taken away. Surrender it to him. Allow him to remove it, bury it, cleanse us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Much more than just forgiven, cleansed. We are, as believers in the Lord, we are much more than just forgiven. We are also cleansed by the power of the Lord. Forgiven and transformed by the power of the Lord. And if we choose not to, it will affect not only us, but others as well. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin. Achan had ample opportunity to do so. God in his mercy has given you and me ample opportunity to do so. We have seen what Achan was able to see and much more. Achan maybe had the freshly written hand script Torah of Moses. We have the entire Bible. We have it available to us. We can hear and read the miracles that God has wrought in the past. We have the ability to see the testimony of it being fulfilled over and over and over again down through the ages. We see the miracle of God that we're still surviving and still here today. After so many attempts to annihilate us, it's a miracle. God's word continues on. It's absolutely miraculous. The miracles we've seen in our own lives, the miracles we've seen in other people's lives, we have so much more available to us than Achan had. And we'll be held to a much higher standard than Achan was. And so Achan confessed it. Verse 24, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor. Achor means trouble, a valley of trouble. They bring him and everything that he had, everything he touched, everything that was his, they bring it all down. I can't just confess a little, just what is known, just what is seen, just what is unacceptable in society. Everything has to be surrendered to the Lord. As Achan said, I coveted those things. In a lot of ways, that is the root sin of all the other Ten Commandments and of all the other sins in the Bible. You have to covet something before you steal it. You have to covet someone before you commit adultery with them. You have to covet and hold on to anger against them before you murder them. Covet our time over God's time to break the Sabbath. Covet the money that is in our hands over returning tithe and offerings back to the Lord. And that really was the sin here. The accursed thing, this accursed thing, as God said, they stole from me. Jericho was the first city of the land of Canaan to be conquered. Thus, the entire city was to be dedicated to the Lord. Everyone in it and everything in it needed to be destroyed. And all the gold and all the silver and everything they had was to be given into the treasury because it was the first fruits. And so Achan, by taking a few lousy, stinking pieces of silver and gold and a filthy garment, gave it all away. He put himself first before God. And when we withhold from God proper tithe and offering to him, we're stealing from him just as verily as Achan stole from God. And when we steal his time, and when we steal his devotion, when we don't reveal him to others, we're stealing the attention. When we take credit to ourselves for what he has done, we are taking his fame. When we don't trust him, when we try and move out in our own strength and do things in our own ways, we're taking away his ability to empower us. When we worry and we fear, we deny his faith and his power and his love and his miracles. In all those things, Achan sinned in that one act. And the same with us. That's why the Bible says if we've broken one, we've broken them all. Because they're all interconnected. Yes. And so they brought him and everything down. So we have to surrender all. Let go of everything. Everything. Surrender it all to the Lord. Let him choose what he wants to allow us to keep. That's what the test with Abraham, right? Rosh Hashanah. Start with Abraham because Abraham was willing to give his most precious possession, give up his son for the Lord. And then a ram was caught in a bush by his horns, right? Where he blew the shofars. And Rosh Hashanah, so the story is reminiscent of that. But God provided a substitute for Isaac. God provided a blood sacrifice for him as a substitute. And then God allowed Abraham to keep his son. But he needed to be willing to surrender even his son. Surrender all. Adam coveted his wife over God. Put nothing before God. neither person, nor child, nor parent, nor spouse, nor house, or tent, or anything before the Lord. So they brought it all down to the valley of trouble. Verse 25, and Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. The entire family. Now again, it might seem very cruel. Didn't Achan confess his sin? Well, yes. Kind of a forced confession. It's really just an acknowledgement of what he had done. That's why the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is Lord over all. But it won't be in confession. It won't be in surrender. It'll just be an acknowledgement that God was right and they were wrong. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go that way. But narrow and straight is the way that leads to heaven, and few there be that follow God's path. That's how it was with Noah. The majority did not make it onto the ark. That's how it's been down through the ages. And so they will cry out like Judas throwing down the pieces of silver. I have betrayed innocent blood. He acknowledged it, but not in repentance. Just merely in telling the truth. And then he went and hung himself. He didn't receive the forgiveness of God. Wasn't in repentance like Peter repented. And went away and cried and allowed God to change him. So Achan confessed, but not in repentance. And so every knee will bow. Even Satan himself, but it won't be in repentance. Only those who get up and accept God's forgiveness and accept God's power to sanctify us and allow God to change our hearts and minds, to accept his cleansing, and who by God's grace keep their robes white and pure before the Lord, and who go and sin no more. Only those will be allowed entrance into the gates of heaven. Might sound like hard and difficult, but really, it's easy. Because God has already done it all for us. He's already paid the price for us. He's already given us the gift of conviction to reveal our sins to us. He's already given us warning after warning. He's already opened his book to us to show us. He's already sent forth his Spirit to empower us and to change us, and to live in us and through us. Thus, there's really no excuse unless we covet the carnal nature. That's the only thing that would keep us out. And so they took them to this valley of trouble and stoned them with stones. And that might seem like the end, but it's not. So we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 9. My elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. The valley of Achor shall be a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. And in Hosea, chapter 2, verse 14. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there. The valley of trouble. Where Achan and everything he had was stoned and then burned. A pile left there of stones upon them as a reminder of their sin, a reminder how that sin affected all of Israel. God, here it is. I'm going to turn that valley of trouble into a place where herds will lie down, where my servants will dwell, where my people who have sought me will be. It'll be a wilderness. I'll bring comfort to them. I'll plant vineyards in that valley. And it'll be a door of hope. And we'll sing. The Lord will take our troubled times. And the Lord will turn all things together for good to those who love God, those called according to his purpose. If we seek him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength, he will be found. And he'll turn our troubles into hope. He'll turn our dry valleys into a wilderness, green and lush, with vineyards and grapevines, with herds and people who are singing to the Lord. And so we see here again, from Jericho, Rosh Hashanah, to judgment on Achan and Yom Kippur, to Sukkot, where he turns this wilderness earth, he turns this barren, desolate, dingy planet, burns it up. Just as Achan's stuff was burned up, God will burn it all up, leaving neither root nor branch. The entire earth will become a ball of fire and will burn it all up. The concrete, the blacktop, the tires, the metal, and styrofoam, the plastic, it'll all melt with a fervent heat. He'll burn it and cleanse this whole filthy planet. And the heavens too, the Bible says. How did God know way back then that we were going to pollute the heavens? That we have to burn the stuff in heaven, the satellites and all that garbage we got up there. And to burn there as well. And create a new heavens and a new earth. Where we will go and rejoice and sing to the Lord forever and ever in Sukkot. And so he turns what was the worst part in the entire universe and plants his tabernacle there and makes this earth his capital of the universe. Amazing. The love of God. The love of God. And that's exactly what he does in our lives as well. The earth doesn't have much of a choice. It'll burn up and it'll cleanse it and change it. But he gives us the choice. Whether we want the sins to go before us to judgment, confess them beforehand. Don't wait till your name is called up in the judgment. Confess it now. Surrender it now. Give it over to the Lord now. And receive his gracious forgiveness and mercy, his embrace, his love, his garment of righteousness. Instead of some filthy Babylonian garment, put on the righteousness of Messiah. Put on his garment. His holiness, and sing to the Lord and rejoice before him. And so, if it is your desire to have it all surrendered to the Lord, given over to him, everything, a moment we'll pray, one last time here on this end, very end of Yom Kippur. Almost the end. I still have a little bit more of this. We're still going to blow the shofar. It's the last shofar, the last trump. As we pray, open our hearts to the Lord. Lord, is there any sin that you want to reveal to me? Anything on the record books? Well, your door of mercy is still open. Your door of hope is still open. Open my heart to you and come in. Take it. Take the sins. Take my life. Make me mine. Make me yours. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we praise you and we thank you for your love and mercy towards us, giving us opportunity to turn from our sinful ways and to turn to you. Thank you that you have sought us out. Thank you that you have first loved us. Thank you that you have first called us. Thank you that you have been running to us. Thank you for drawing us. Thank you for bringing us to this day. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your gift of conviction. Continue to reveal to us anything in our lives that's not in harmony with you. Any stain upon our record book. Any known, cherished, rebelliously held on to sin. Show us if there's anything we're coveting, anything we're putting before you. Whether person or place or thing. We choose to surrender it all to you. Our life, our health, our abilities, our talents, they're all yours. We give them all to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Cover us with your embrace and with your robe, with your righteousness. Cover us with your sacrifice, with your blood, with your skin. And fill us and live in us and out of us. Rise us up and empower us to be sanctified and live holy lives before you and for you and to the world. In Yeshua's holy name, amen. Great. Amen. Okay, you're not off the hook yet. Okay, so the sages down through the ages, in case you didn't hear the Holy Spirit, have written out a list, pages here for you, of sins. Called the Al-Khayt, means for these sins. And so I'll read through the list, and then there'll be a response if you choose, if you want, if you mean it. For the sin we have committed against you by not forgiving. For the sin we have committed against you by hardening our hearts. For the sin we have committed against you by acting without thinking. For the sin we have committed against you by speaking perversely. For the sin we have committed against you through sexual impurity. For the sin we have committed against you with pornography. For the sin we have committed against you by being selfish. For the sin we have committed against you by rudeness. For the sin we have committed against you by wronging our neighbor. For the sin we have committed against you by sinful thoughts. For the sin we have committed against you by Sabbath breaking. For the sin we have committed against you by insincere confession. For the sin we have committed against you by disrespecting parents and teachers and leaders. For the sin we have committed against you in withholding tithe and offerings. For the sin we have committed against you by violence. For the sin we have committed against you by profaning your name. For the sin we have committed against you by cursing. For the sin we have committed against you by foolish talk. For the sin we have committed against you through anger. For the sin we have committed against you by holding a grudge. For all of these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name. For the sin we have committed against you by denying and lying. For the sin we have committed against you by getting into debt. For the sin we have committed against you by doubting. For the sin we have committed against you by slander. For the sin we have committed against you in our lack of faith. For the sin we have committed against you in eating unclean foods. For the sin we have committed against you by drunkenness. For the sin we have committed against you by arrogance and pride. For the sin we have committed against you by gossip. For the sin we have committed against you by flirting. For the sin we have committed against you with fear. For the sin we have committed against you by worry. For all of these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name. For the sin we have committed against you by rejecting responsibility. And for the sin we have committed against you by contentiousness. For the sin we have committed against you by jealousy. For the sin we have committed against you by envy. For the sin we have committed against you by covetousness. For the sin we have committed against you by being stubborn. For the sin we have committed against you by overeating. For the sin we have committed against you by lack of self-control. For the sin we have committed against you by broken promises. For the sin we have committed against you by hatred. For the sin we have committed against you by not sharing you with others. For the sin we have committed against you by being controlling and manipulative. For all of these sins, O God of forgiveness, forgive us and pardon us in Yeshua's name. We have trespassed, we have dealt deceitfully, we have stolen, we have slandered. We have acted perversely, we have done wrong, we have acted presumptuously, and we have been violent. We have spoken lies, we have counseled evil, we have spoken falsely, and we have blasphemed. We have scoffed, we have rebelled, we have provoked, and we have oppressed. We have been stiff-necked, we have corrupted, and we have gone astray, and we have led others astray. But if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and cleansing us. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Live in us and out of us. for your honor and for your glory, in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.